Okay, so we are here with Radio Wonderland.
Hi.
Who, if you didn't see at the concert last night, you really, really missed out.
Hell yeah, but they didn't miss as much as they might have because there's another concert tonight.
There is another concert tonight. It's true. I actually am probably going to dip out of there, out of here to go listen and watch.
That's nice.
So, you actually just came down from doing a talk.
That is so.
Would you like to give a brief overview in case people don't have access to the Hope 10 schedule?
Yeah, no problem. My talk, which I just gave, was called Skeuomorphic Steganography. And skeuomorphism is the practice of incorporating into a visual design some element from an earlier design. So, for instance, a station wagon that has fake wood paneling on the side, or vinyl tiles that are supposed to look like wood, or very famously, the old iCal and the old iBooks and all that stuff that people got so tired of and made fun of from Apple Computer, which then Apple completely backtracked on and reversed themselves. So that kind of fake material, the fake leather, the fake brushed metal. Apple had this big brushed metal thing for a while too. Is skeuomorphism, and steganography is hiding messages in plain sight, and it's been around for centuries. But now digital steganography is a big deal, and people hide things inside JPEGs. They hide things inside metadata. They create subtle patterns or do things with altering a text in a way to embed a message, and the message is always going to be far less information than the much larger thing that contains it. So you would only use the lowest significant bits of the image, for instance, so you can get a low bandwidth message in comparison to the bandwidth represented by the image that you're hiding the message in. So I had this idea of skeuomorphic steganography, that they had to go together. And I was amazed that this didn't already exist, and I had to figure out what that meant. And I discovered or decided that what it meant was hiding messages inside the skeuomorphism. And the advantage is that the skeuomorphism tells you where to look. So I have this idea that in the future, like-minded people will see the skeuomorphism, and instead of just being snarky about it, saying, oh, maybe this is a hidden message. So it's an idea that's, it's not about technical rigor, although rigor could be applied to it. It's like this weird sort of poetic impulse that could be a thing if we make it a thing. And there is somewhat of a technical justification for it, because you get sort of an area of higher entropy where you have the skeuomorphic. And the way I imagine this, and I want to put this on my album cover, by the way, if you have one area that has the skeuomorphic, it stands out to the human eye. Computer may not recognize it because the pattern recognition is not that sophisticated yet. And it creates room for that data to be stored. Did I just go around in circles? I'm like,
No. I'm a little bit in awe. Like, I wouldn't think of hiding something in plain sight in something that stands out, because it's not as commonplace as it used to be.
Well, see, part of the gambit is this idea that it would become a not the most secure, but anyway, security needs multiple factors anyway these days. You need to have some secrecy about your secret messages, and you have to encrypt the messages that you're saying, even if it's in
even if it's hidden.
Using SSL, because the SSL may have been compromised. So the idea is that people who are at Hope X years from now will see some gratuitous skeuomorphism, like in bad taste, and they'll think, oh, that guy.
There's a message in
Let's look.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it has to do with sort of convention and community, and the way I applied it was by just adding slight variations using the least significant bits, but doing it in a very high abstract level using Max MSP software. So I would come up with sort of a percentage variation and change the R, G, and B a certain amount, and then see how it looks. And I made a slider to make it more obvious or less obvious, mm-hmm. and then you find the spot that you like. And I did it with QR codes just to see if I could retrieve them, and I could.
That's really interesting. Like, I could imagine where, like, especially in graphic designers, like, know how things are really, really popular? Let's say things like drop shadows or reflections.
Right.
And then the minute a graphic designer sees something that's modern and goes, oh, wow, this looks great, except for the fact that there's a drop shadow. There right. must be something hidden in that drop shadow.
Yes.
Like, that's really, like, it creates, like, this inside joke where the bad design becomes a message. It's really kind of creepily brilliant way to hide things.
In its limited way. The rigor comes from the encryption that you might use on top of it, mm-hmm. or possibly through some other technical scheme other than mine.
Hmm.
But I say, like, let's make a thing.
How did you come up with that originally?
It was just because those terms were in my head, and I thought, this has to be a thing. This must be
so
a thing.
These words are cool, so if this doesn't exist, I'm making it right now.
It took me a while, and then finally I said, I'm going to Google this. And it wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
And it took me a long time to figure out, is this steganographic skeuomorphism? Or is it skeuomorphic steganography? And then I realized it was skeuomorphic steganography.
Hmm.
That you're hiding the images inside the skeuomorphism. And now it's like, I can't go back. I can't imagine a world without it, you know. And this idea of these textures kind of burbling along. And some of them are repetitive. And that's part of my shtick, where you take a slightly altered image, take the unaltered image, and if you put them on top of each other in Photoshop, use the divide blend, everything turns white except for the pixels that you altered.
Have you come across something? Like, have you found this in practice anywhere?
No.
No. Are you looking?
No.
So how do you know that people aren't trying to communicate with you right now?
Oh, you mean with me?
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
How long have you been spreading this idea?
I think today is pretty much it.
This is it. So maybe next week we're going to come across some websites with a hint and in it.
Yeah, well, if they're trying to reach me, then they should have it cross my path, you know.
That takes away the fun, though. We need you to discover
it. Just go searching for it?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you come across this secret society where the wood paneling has QR codes hidden in it.
Wait a minute. I'm the patron saint of this society. They should come to me.
I'm saying you've discovered it, but the secret society needs to be built around it.
I like that. One thing I didn't finish, though, just for completeness sake, with the masking. I'm calling the unadulterated image the mask, and it's what exposes the mm-hmm. pixels that you've changed. So in order for this to work, you need that mask, But the technique, in my view, has to be without a key that you share in advance. So what's the answer? My answer is, you have some kind of repetition within the skeuomorphic design. You have the unadulterated image on the same screen,
and you
or on the backside of the album cover,
so that you can notice the change, and then you realize, okay, this is something I need to process, and then you discover the message.
Right. So you look at this fake leather on the, let's say, the front of my album cover, and then there's a little patch of fake leather on the back of my album cover. So you scan both and overlay them and then find where the pixels pop out.
Where the difference is.
And what's kind of cool in Photoshop, the one kind of that I got during my talk today, is when there's all this muddled skeuomorphic image and I line them up, they get closer and closer, and wham, they're perfectly aligned. Everything goes white except there's one image of Aaron Swartz smiling.
In it.
Yeah. And so it's kind of...
It's creepily brilliant. like I need this to happen in real life.
Well, if there
make
was
it
any,
happen,
right?
Yeah.
Well, if anyone wants to write to me, I'll give them the tool make it.
No, it can't work like that.
Oh, they have to.
No, you have to be like going like, oh, what's today's Bing background? And you're like, oh, there's some mountains, and then you realize the fractals are off, and like. You move the two
mountains.
Oh, you move the two mountains over, and it's like Radio Wonderland. We know you're watching. You know, like you just need to.
I like that.
You just need to discover it. You need your mind blown. So, if there's listeners that have control over something huge, make these changes. I need this to happen.
Great, and I could use it. As well.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna make my own. It's definitely for album art.
Yeah, but imagine the night that happens where you discover like. The secret message that's meant only for you.
That'll be so nice.
Oh, man. I'm so jealous.
So sweet.
I'm so jealous of the feeling that you will get.
Make it happen. Oh, but it wouldn't be the same.
It wouldn't be the same. Now you know it's coming. You'd be like, oh, it was the dude with the cowboy hat. But but when you come across it, when you're like, oh wow, this Apple commercial seems like something's repeating, and then you see a dancing version of yourself, like this neat. Do it. Someone who's listening right now, just get it done. And then I want to vicariously live through you when you come back 2 years from now and tell us about how you came across it in real life.
Yeah. Or maybe it'll happen at the next Hope.
2 years from now.
Yeah.
Let's get it done.
Yeah.
Make some moves, Radio Statler listeners.
I have faith. This is going to be cool. I'm looking forward to it. Mark this on your calendars, guys. Next con, we're expecting.
2016.
Yeah. We're expecting to hear about this.
Everywhere.
Okay. Imagine, let's all be looking for it.
A car's mass-produced with woody panels, and it's just your face repeating on the side.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're going to be playing later tonight.
Yes, I'm performing tonight.
Okay.
Which is unexpected.
Yeah. It didn't get added until, what, today? What time today?
It was officially added maybe around noon, but right after I got off stage, Gus ran on the mic and said, let's have them back. Let's have more tomorrow. And then they approached me, and my first thought was, I'm so exhausted, but if this means I don't have to load out, okay, let's do it. And I'm actually very excited. I'm very honored and kind of blown away. People responded to things that I put in Radio Wonderland, which is my solo act, that they have not audibly responded to before.
Could you go into a bit more detail exactly on what Radio Wonderland is?
Yeah, let me do that. But actually, let me just finish that thought, because it's a small part of what Radio Wonderland is. I cut up radio and make it into beats, essentially. And I'll take these tiny bits of, let's say, spoken word, and it becomes percussion. And what I like to do is take those tiny bits and then lengthen them again sometime later, so that you hear the rhythm turning back into what it was when it was some radio commercial that everybody heard. And that's what they responded to last night. And usually people, they may be grooving on the show as a whole, but they're not audibly responding to that. And last night they did, and it felt great.
Hmm.
It was really a perfect audience. So what Radio Wonderland is my solo show. It's me on stage, and I walk on without any pre-recorded sounds. And I get everything from a boombox playing live FM radio, live. It's commercial, mainstream commercial radio. And I grab from whatever I get on the air during the show, cut it up in the computer with great precision, change the pitch on some things, shift them around, reshuffle, and lay them out on a rhythmic grid.
What software are you using to do this?
Max MSP.
Okay.
And it becomes danceable. And when I thought of this, I wasn't really sure just how danceable it could be. And it actually works. In some ways, it works better than I ever dreamed. I think it has partially to do with the high precision of timing if you used the sample rate as a time base as opposed to MIDI.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has to do with the nature of commercial radio. And maybe my years of being a musician and improvising is helping put this together as something that works, but people actually dance, and that's important to me, because otherwise
you're just making noise.
Well, no, I don't want to be that extreme about it. I like noise, and I have a high respect for improvised music that doesn't have some kind of crazy criteria of people getting up and dancing. But for me, it's so concrete when they do, and it's showing me that this found sound bit, this sort of post Cage bit of using chants, can give something that is musical in even a rather conventional sense. And that kind of blows me away. And if my algorithms and what I'm doing live on stage to select them actually work in the sense that people dance, then these are really basic, effective, and to me, important algorithms.
Now, do you have any influences? Like, did this come to you? I know there's other artists that take soundscapes, like they'll record being at the dentist and then remix that into some type of music.
Yeah.
Are any of those people influences? Is this something that you just discovered on your own?
Well, it's evolved over years, but my stuff probably goes back to Steve Reich's early tape phase pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Eno, late 70s Brian Eno, and dub reggae.
Okay.
But it's been my evolution over years of playing with found sound and collaging sound and working with processing and dance rhythm that incrementally led to this all radio, all found sound dance music act.
Mm.
And not so directly with the people who are roughly my artistic generation that are doing similar things. And I quickly got out of the habit as a composer of very carefully deciding just the right thing to sample so I blow people away. I'm more interested in the processing and the musicality than I am in finding just the right sample.
Okay.
Especially because I'm taking commercial radio and there's sort of a subversive impulse. I want to get the kind of snarky, nasty take on corporate media, have them talking about sales or have some political figure talking or some commercial. And doing it at random and finding the juxtapositions that are biting is more gratifying to me than deciding, oh, what's going to be like this funny thing? Should it be about spam? Like actual spam? Like pork shoulder and ham? Ha ha ha. Like, is that funny? Oh, maybe it's not funny. I don't want to be composing like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was over that years ago. That kind of decision making, although it can maybe sell records or get people to come to your opera, I'm just not interested.
So basically, like in this randomness of just sampling whatever you find, you found like a certain freedom. It allows you to express yourself in a different way than if you were trying to make something reproducible.
I'm not sure I completely follow you, but yes.
No, you're basically taking a boombox and then going through the dial and you're finding something and you're creating something new and unique from it. And you found something there that you weren't finding by just saying, oh, here's like a news clip, an example. Remember there was like a guy who crawled into a woman's window to rape her or something along those lines. And they were interviewing her homosexual brother. And like they created a whole song based around sampling this guy about hide your husbands because we're raping everybody up here. So in that case, someone took something and turned it into musical, where they knew exactly what they were doing. They took something, they sampled it, and they're like, we want to make this dancey. Whereas you're literally finding something almost at random,
right,
and turning that into your music, so it's different every time you're performing.
It's different every time, and it's a rather different discipline.
Yeah.
There's stuff that is in common, but I was going to say wasting my time. For me, it would feel like wasting my time to try to find just the right thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone asks me, or if there's like, you know, if there was like a no new taxes, which was this meme that they used to defeat George H.W.
Yes.
Bush,
mm-hmm.
maybe something like that would attract me, but not really. The idea, my quest to be able to process any sound and to work on the fly and find those juxtapositions is just more powerful and more interesting than blowing them away with how cool it is. Or like somebody mentioned last night that it was like My Life in the Bush of Ghosts, the David Byrne, Brian Eno album.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, a big chunk of it was like, wow, they got this evangelist, amazing. And it's just... it doesn't interest me as much as these algorithms, because when I'm with these algorithms, I feel like I'm kind of reaching into the cosmos and I'm finding something general as opposed to just honing it down to stuff that's...
Okay, I understand.
And I can also surprise myself and surprise everybody. Last night, we got this bit from sports radio that people started screaming, I think, before I finally decided I'm going to grab this. With my sampling software in Max MSP, I design it so that when I hit my grab button, it continues to sample 1 second, so I'm actually sampling the future.
Uh-huh.
And it also retains the last 3 seconds. So I have a little bit of time to decide, oh, that was good. Yes, no, yes. Okay, I'm going to take it. And it was the sports guy saying, in this age of unfettered free agency... And everyone started screaming because it kind of fits with a hacker spirit. And so I made a whole big deal out of that. And, you know, when you try to pre-decide it, you discard the things that hit the nail on the head sometimes, or it hits the hits the nail too much on the head. Mm-hmm. And it's better when it's not what I expect.
Are there times where you're creating music and then like you know when it's right? Like, are there times where you're just in awe of what you've just created, or has it become commonplace now where you're like, yeah, I'm awesome, Dan?
Well, I'm highly self-critical.
Uh-huh.
So if it's one of the best shows I've ever done, then I'm pretty happy at the end.
Do you go back and listen to your work after you've done your set?
Well, I didn't for a long time, and then I realized if I want to make this album good, that's exactly what I have to do. So mm-hmm. I did this massive listening project, and that's what this album is based on. I've taken the funkiest bits from 3 years of performing.
Oh, wow.
Over 150 hours of live recordings.
So you've gone back, listened to this, and like you've picked the cream of the crop out of 150 hours of...
Cream of the crop in terms of what grooves.
Yeah.
And... But so what was the question? Oh, am I so used to it?
Yeah, it's literally like when you're creating, like, are there times where you're just utterly surprised with what comes out the other end?
Sometimes.
Are there times where like it comes out and you're like, yeah, I knew this was going to be great. Dance to me. Like, not so much.
Not so much. Sometimes I think it's, this is nothing's really happening and other people really dig it.
Uh huh.
I mean, it happens with all the arts. You concentrate on the mistakes. You concentrate on what's not there. Other people are listening, and they hear what is there.
Mm.
So, we're getting towards the end. You had something. Did you want to play something for
us? This is an unfinished album track.
Oh, we're getting a preview,
guys. So this is something you've played before that you're putting into the album, you said, at 150 hours?
Yes. This was from a gig I don't have the date on it right here. But it was a 30-minute or so set that I then condensed to about 6 minutes. And this is pretty close to what will be on the album. And I think this is a broadcast exclusive world premiere.
Yeah, Radio Statler.
Yeah, so should I just hit it?
We're getting the thumbs up.
Are we getting thumbs up? And this would like be called... Oh, wait, should we just getting any level from me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, I hear it.
That's a
level. Right. So now people know exactly what OS... And what hardware? Yes, this is called The Cross. And this is 100% from live radio.
Mm-hmm.
No overdubs, just editing. That is no material that was not present on the radio during some time during the concert when this was originally recorded.
Got it.
It's just edited down. Right? Okay, so here it goes.
Get through, 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 get through
Just about out of time. I'm gonna try and let this track run out, but I wanted to remind you guys that Radio Wonderland is playing tonight in the concert area. If you don't know the concert area, when you come in to the conference, it's practically right there next to the elevators. It's just right there.
You're not gonna miss it.
Yeah, no.
The minute you go through the door, you'll hear it.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
When you come tonight. In the front entrance, the main front entrance of the hotel on 7th Avenue. Turn left, and
you're there?
Yeah.
And that's going to start at around 10 o'clock?
10 is when it's planned, yeah.
Okay.
The original scheduled time was 11, and then they decided to add a Radio Wonderland set as an early set.
Yeah.
And so, yes, got to start moving equipment.
Mm. Okay, so we're going to let you go. We will be streaming it.
Exciting. Great.
From 10 o'clock onwards, we're going to do the whole concert tonight. At least that's the plan. So if you aren't at the conference and you want to tune in, you should stick around. It's going to be really exciting. Thank you for coming on, and we'd love to have you again at the next conference.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. I had a blast, and I look forward to tomorrow's last day of the conference and then some good night's sleep after that.
Yeah, I could use some sleep.
I think we all could. All right. Well, we're going to take a little bit of a breather, and then we'll be in with should be Forgotten 247's hacker punk rock show. Punk rock hacker show.
Something.
It's one of those. Something with punk rock and hackers, and it's supposed to be pretty good. So we'll be right back.